Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We continue today to study the statement of Christ in John 16:16. Which in many ways is a rather puzzling statement, but he said to his disciples, "A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." And that statement, which is a bit puzzling to us, was even more puzzling to the disciples of Christ, because he said that to them before his crucifixion, and so they really had very little context in which to understand what he was talking about. But they huddled among themselves and began to talk about it so that they might come to a better understanding. And they said in verse 17, "What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father." Now we'll take this up again in just a moment, but first let me pause and welcome you to this Thursday, March 13, edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And then let me express my deepest gratitude to those radio listeners whose financial gifts help us to purchase the airtime necessary to broadcast the Beacon Broadcast on the station where you are now listening. Well, the disciples got in a little group among themselves to discuss the statement of Christ. I read again the statement in verse 16, "A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Verse 17, "Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father." Now, if you were listening carefully, you realized that the disciples, in discussing this among themselves, used word for word exactly what Christ had said. They got the content of his statement perfectly. In fact, there's only one additional word that you find in verse 17 that was not in verse 16, and that's the conjunction and it just shows us where they were breaking apart the different phrases that Christ spoke to look at them individually and separately, which, of course, is the way that you study and analyze something. Now, before we get into further what they were learning and what we should be learning about this, I want to take up where I left off yesterday about the importance of listening carefully to the preacher or the teacher of God's Word if you are going to understand what he means. It's similar to this. I've often said to our people, you can never hope to understand what the Bible means until first you know what it says. And I say that in connection with urging people to become regular readers of the Bible. We try to challenge the members of our church to get themselves on a systematic Bible reading program that will take them through the Bible at least once a year as a very minimum. And we feel that if people will systematically read the Bible, all of it, every year, and will keep that up over a period of years, that they will gain more understanding of God's Word that way than perhaps in any other way. Or at least they will augment their understanding of God's Word in such a rich way that it will almost be like they have received a new Bible. You see, the obvious fact is that most Christians do not read their Bible very seriously. Most Christians do not read the Bible very seriously. When I mean seriously, they don't make any regular, systematic, concerted, disciplined effort to read the Bible in a habitual or in a systematized way. Now, many Christians don't read the Bible at all. I guess they're Christians. I wonder how many people who are truly born again can go on like that day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year without reading the Bible. And yet, there are people who claim to be Christians, and I don't know their heart. They very well may be Christians who really don't ever give attention to the Bible except during those times when they are in church. Their church attendance is the extent of their exposure to the Bible. Well, thank God for the church service, so that at least they have that exposure. And I pray that when they attend church, they'll be at a church that's going to give them a good measure of biblical content. I fear that in many of the churches that they could be attending, they're not going to get much biblical content at church. They're not reading the Bible at home. They're not hearing the Bible read at church. And they are not hearing the Bible taught at church to any great degree. So they can be saved, presumably, if they're truly saved. They can be Christians for decades and still be virtually ignorant of the Bible. And why should that be? That shouldn't be among people who are able to read and who are able to acquire a copy of the Bible. Down through the years, there have been many centuries in which Bibles were very expensive. The average man could never possibly have afforded the Bible for himself. Before the invention of the printing press, a Bible, a whole Bible, which had to be copied out by hand, that Bible had to cost at least as much as the wages of the copyist who copied it. Now, I don't know how many Bibles a copyist can copy in a year's time if he's being very careful and very meticulous with his copying, as a professional copyist would be. But let us suppose, and I'm just supposing, let us suppose that a good scribe, a good copyist, could copy out from Genesis to Revelation in very meticulous carefulness and in very legible handwriting, could copy out 4 to 6 Bibles in a year. And that may be too much. I really don't know. Maybe they could only copy out one in a year. But let's suppose that a good copyist could copy out 4 to 6 Bibles in a year. Let's just take 5 as a general average. Well, then, at the very least, that Bible is going to have to cost 1/5 of that man's annual wages, plus the materials that he used. The paper, the ink, the pens, the quills, whatever it was that he used to copy that out. That's going to be the minimum. That's going to be the starting point. And then if there's going to be any profit on that, if he's working for someone down through the centuries, many of these copyists were monks who lived in monasteries, and so the cost was kept lower that way than it would have been if they had been employed in some kind of a publishing house, some kind of a public business. But you can imagine how much a copy of God's Word would cost at that rate. If the average wage, and again I'm just going to throw out a figure that'll be easy to divide, if the average wage today would be $25,000 a year, say for a good secretary, and of course there's secretaries that make more than that, and there's secretaries that make less than that, but let's just say $25,000 a year. That means, and that secretary could copy out 5 copies of the Bible in a year's time, doing it carefully and meticulously. That means the Bible would have to cost the equivalent of $5,000 plus materials. Each Bible may cost $6,000 or more. Well, how many of you would have a copy of the Bible if you had to pay $6,000 in today's dollars to get it? Some of you, some of us, would do whatever it took to have a copy of the Bible at that price. But can you imagine? It really would be out of reach for many people, totally impossible for many people to have a copy, and it would be so expensively prohibited that some people who conceivably could do it if they valued it enough would find it very difficult to do that. And yet, in our day, we can buy Bibles. We have Bibles given to us. We have Bibles sent to us in the mail. One time I went in the hospital, several years ago now, to undergo a cancer treatment that involved radioactive iodine, and I had to swallow this pill that made me radioactive. Really, literally made me radioactive. I had to be in an isolated room, special room, and so forth, and they would even come in from time to time, people dressed in a special way. Other people didn't come into my room. They didn't even bring my food into my room. They would, it was a big room, and my bed was actually around the corner. I couldn't see the door. And when it was food time, they would set the food tray inside the door and then tell me it was there, and the person who brought it was gone before I even got there to pick up the tray. It was almost like being in prison. I mean, this is really isolation. But people in special clothes would come in once in a while with a Geiger counter and wave that Geiger counter over me. I was highly interested in all of this, and I shouldn't be taking up valuable airtime, I suppose, for this, but I was highly interested in this, and I was interested to note that the Geiger counter didn't tick like it does on television. It was a quiet operation, but nevertheless, they would wave that thing over me and measure what my radioactivity level was so that they could decide at what point it was safe to release me. So under those conditions, they told me that anything I brought into the hospital room would have to be left behind. Anything that I brought, any reading material, any clothing, just make sure you didn't bring anything except what was absolutely disposable. Well, I wanted to read my Bible. In fact, I was going to be in there for 2 or 3 days, and I needed to be doing some sermon preparation and some Bible study and various things while I was there. Obviously, I wasn't going to take my usual Bible, which is relatively expensive, but I had no trouble going to my shelf where I have a whole shelf full of Bibles and finding a paperback copy of the Bible, which had been given to me, that was cheap enough that I didn't mind using it and leaving it behind. That's exactly what I did. I mean, that's how inexpensive Bibles are in our day. And I took that Bible in there, and I read that Bible, studied from that Bible, took other study materials in there, took a bunch of magazines, several magazines, that I didn't mind leaving behind. I mean, these are Christian periodicals. And then for commentaries, I made copies of pages on the copying machine and took them in there and studied them. And when I was done, I left all that behind. The interesting thing about it, and I'm going to run out of time here, about 3 or 4 weeks later, a nurse from the hospital called me and said, normally we throw all this stuff out, but I couldn't bring myself to throw away this Bible. So we've kept it here until it passes the test, you know, the Geiger counter test. And if you want to come pick it up, you're welcome to have it. Well, I actually never did. I had intended for that to be disposable, and I didn't go back to pick it up. But I thought that was interesting. I'm glad there was somebody who had enough respect for God's Word that they found it difficult, if not impossible, to throw a Bible away. But we are blessed with the Word of God, but do we act as if we value it? That's the point. May God help us too. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.